And then we have item two under old business.
Yeah, I guess I'll pick that up. We have another item to consider, change of zone number 1759 Osprey Point DLLC. Recall during the public hearing in February 3rd, a motion by this council was approved to defer action and keep the record open for the Planning and Zoning Commission to receive reports that it was waiting on, as well as to have a representative from the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, Division of Soil and Water Conservation, address the County Council to discuss the Soil Conservation's new regulations pertaining to this site. We're joined by staff from the NREC today to make that presentation. Appreciate your patience in waiting. Recall that the motion also instructed the council to keep the record open after today for an additional 20 days for written comments to be submitted by the public and the applicants regarding today's reports and presentations. I believe Jamie Rutherford is here from DNREC to make the presentation. Thank you. Thanks for being here.
I would say good morning, but it's good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you.
Yes, Jamie Rutherford, Program Manager with DNREC Sediment and Stormwater Program, along with Randy Greer and Elaine Webb, our engineers for our program. As requested by us, by council, Randy's going to provide, and he's given you handouts, a comparison between our revised sediment and stormwater regulations, which became effective January 1, 2014. And our old regulations. And then Elaine's going to provide highlights to our regulatory process timeline and also provide what training we've provided to date.
Thank you.
And I have brought with me our Delaware Erosion and Sediment Control Handbook, which has been updated, and also a copy of our new post-construction stormwater BMPs for the council.
Well, thank you. We'll make sure Mr. Cole gets these.
I'll start reading right now.
Yes.
I'm sure I'll understand it. Great, Sam.
I'm Elaine Webb, and I'm going to go over the chronology just briefly, just to give you a little history of where we've come with our revisions to the Delaware Sediment Stormwater Regulations. So Governor Minner had a task force to address surface water management, and they made a report in April 2005, and one of the major recommendations from that report was to revise the Delaware Sediment Stormwater Regulations to address volume management and conveyance adequacy, along with maintenance and some other items. So we embarked upon that process to do a revision to the regulations, and we convened a regulatory advisory committee. They met starting in October of 2007, met for more than 4 years, several meetings, lots more subcommittee meetings that we had that all involved the public. It was a statewide effort. And we had our first public hearing on the revisions to the regulations in March of 2012. And based on the comments that we received from that public hearing, we went back and made some adjustments, and that effort took about a year, and we went to a second public hearing in April 2013, and that followed with promulgation of the revised sediment and stormwater regulations in July. We had asked for a delay in the effective date of the regulations to allow us time to train, and we did offer 3 training sessions. We trained almost a couple hundred people in that initial training effort before the regulations became effective. And the regulations did become effective in January 2014. We continue our training effort. We have developed what we now call designer training that we instituted this year. And that is really targeted toward the individuals that are preparing the plans. We found that with our initial training effort that the vast majority of people attending were not developers, but the consultants that were developing the plans for those developers. So we targeted our training to that audience. To date, we have 80 that have been through the designer training, which is a 2-day course, and getting good feedback from that. So I think that's been well worth our effort in getting those plans designed in accordance with the revised regulations.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Randy Greer. I guess I'm the old guy on the staff. And my hair was not this gray when we started this process, I can tell you that. The handout that I gave you is just kind of a summary comparison between the old regs and the current regs. And just for clarification, the Osprey Point project was grandfathered under the old regulations.
I'm sorry, sir, real quick. I don't... it's Councilman Wilson has held it up. I apologize. I haven't seen it. No worries.
That's something affecting downstream type of...
When was that grandfathered in?
The grandfathering was a provisions where if projects right. had been submitted prior to January 1 of 2014...
Date of submission
of their first application, yes.
And everything was in line for that?
Yes, it was. So that's still going through the review process, but my understanding is it will be close to approval anyway. So the handout I gave you is just kind of a comparison between the old regs and these current regs, broken down into a couple sections here, the first one being the process. We pretty much used a three-step process before, although we instituted that through a policy. That is now in the reg language itself, so the process really hasn't changed that much. First step is just a project application meeting. Then the second step would be submission of stormwater management computations, and then the third step is the construction plans. Under erosion sediment control, the big change there was under the old regulations, you couldn't disturb more than 20 acres. That really did not work very well, especially back in the heyday when, you know, we're going gangbusters. Yes, sir.
How many acres did you say?
20.
Here. No, I thought it said 40.
Right there.
That's where he is. 20 acres was the max.
20 acres, okay.
That really didn't work out very well, especially with the size of the projects that we saw back in the 2000s before the bust. So we did make some adjustments under the new regulations to allow folks to disturb more than that, as long as they followed a more engineer-type plan as opposed to just using our standard details from the ENS handbook. Under the stormwater management section, I'm not going to go through these point by point because it gets into the weeds a little bit, but I did want to highlight a couple things here under the goals and objectives. Under the old regulations, we pretty much made every site manage their stormwater the same way. We've come to understand that doesn't make a lot of sense if you're in the lower part of a watershed. It doesn't make a lot of sense to hold back stormwater until the rest of the watershed comes through. So we're looking at a more watershed level approach now. We're also putting a greater emphasis on volume management as opposed to just looking at peak discharges, because we know that impervious surfaces do tend to increase the volume of runoff, and that can create problems. Under the old regs, the goal was to try to mimic the pre-development hydrology. And under the new regulations, the current regulations, what we're looking at is basically no adverse impact. So we're not saying you have to design to a certain standard. Just show us you're not creating a problem. As far as the number of storms we regulate, under the old regs, there were 4 storms. We've kind of combined our water quality storm and the low intensity storms into one, so now we're looking at 3 storms, the 1 year, the 10 year, and the 100. As far as our water quality management requirements under the old regulations, the preference was for using green technology BMPs, but that was just a kind of a preference. Under the new regs, what we're really looking at is trying to get the runoff from that impervious surface back into the ground where Mother Nature intended it to be, and to prevent that from discharging from the site. Now, for the larger storms, again, we're looking for that no adverse impact. So we're looking to make sure that folks aren't increasing water surface elevations or the degree of flooding downstream, basically. Turn to the back. This was a big change in the new regulations. Before, we only had two standard plans. These are basically just simple one-page forms that an applicant can fill out for minor projects without having to go through the expense of getting an engineered design. We've expanded that now to 10 project or 10 standard plans. And some of these do have some stormwater management elements contained in them. Before, you couldn't get a standard plan if you needed to do stormwater management. We're also developing a new standard plan for single lot residential construction on a wooded condition, because the current single lot residential construction plan does not allow disturbance of a wooded area. So that has recently come to light as an issue, so we're trying to address that by coming up with a new standard
plan.
The current, we have a standard plan for single lot construction.
Right.
But one of the stipulations is you can't clear any trees. So that has come to light as an issue for larger wooded lots that have a lot of property, but you know, they may need to clear like a half acre or an acre for putting a house in. So that's relatively minor impact, we think.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to adjust our standard plans to account for that type of development as well.
With the result, the ability to take down trees as necessary?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
As in a practical sense, but not particularly to take them all down. That's
right.
Not, okay.
Could I maybe interject here?
Sure.
A little bit? I think we're all kind of familiar that the new current regs are much more involved than the old regs. You pointed out that it was grandfathered in. This
Osprey Point.
Because we're here. Right. The reason we had you all here was for basically some input on Osprey Point. We had a lot of testimony about concerns about the water quality and stormwater, et cetera. So,
sure.
And we were unsure of whether the current or the old regs would take effect.
Okay.
So my question would be to
The old regs.
It was grandfathered in, not by the county government, but by state government at your level. Okay, so you've grandfathered in. Therefore, it'll fall under the old regs.
Old regulations, yes.
Does their current plan, have you done a plan review on Osprey Point? Does the current plan comply with the minimal, at least the old regs? Because that's what we got, we're stuck
sure.
with.
We do not review the plans for projects in the county unless they're state projects. We have worked through a delegation process, and our delegated agency in Sussex County is the Sussex Conservation District.
Mm-hmm.
They have been reviewing the plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not approved yet, but when it's approved, it will meet what we have here as our old regs.
Old regs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a water quality component to that.
Because it's our job. I mean, we don't have that ability at the county level, but so we rely on state agency approvals. And for us to second guess that, we're seeing both current and old. It would be, I don't think, inappropriate, and I don't think our attorney would appreciate it if we picked from one column and the other column, and then supposedly input these into the conditions, because I don't think
we would have
anything to back it up with or whatever. And
you're right. I would not appreciate that.
I like it.
You cannot do that.
Well, legally, we cannot do that.
Right.
That legally, soil conservation is who, by charge, approves these plans.
That is correct. We do not have the jurisdiction.
Correct.
We don't have
We
don't
have the jurisdiction, but under a conditional use and other things, we do have certain ability, and we could put them in. The question is, could you defend it? And you probably are saying you're concerned about that.
I would have a great deal of concern, because our ordinances reference that all these issues are determined by the Soil Conservation District, not by the county. It's a reference to that. And I do not believe that once someone is given a grandfathering by the state agency, that the county can then determine, take in effect that vested right away from that person. I don't believe that we can kind of pick and choose there.
And this is a change of zone as opposed to a conditional use or an RPC. I see it says referred to as a change of zone. Is that, I can't remember, I don't have it in front of me. Is that correct? Is it a change of zone, Lawrence, or is it a conditional use to RPC, or
Here, I'll let our county expert tell us that.
The application is for a rezoning to from AR1 to MRRPC, residential plan community.
In the RP.
We can put conditions on RPC.
We can, right. So we could, and it's questionable if our attorney would appreciate it, but we could put certain conditions in, but we'd have to have reasons why.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So where we are right now with Osprey is that the number of houses and that type of thing, we're not even looking at changing that. It's
The only thing we're discussing right now is,
right.
And we're only discussing is the request of
because
the
it was a request.
Peer to explain
and the other
the process,
issue was,
their
okay,
process.
Got you.
That's all.
And Lawrence, would Conservation District, when would they tell us whether this current plan is in compliance, at least with the old?
It normally don't have to tell us until we, if the council rezones, then the plan goes back to the commission. Commission does a review preliminarily, then all the agencies do their thing and give us their final decision before the county grants final approval.
Mm-hmm. Final approval, but is there two zonings here? Is it change of zone, then the MR?
It's rezoning from AR1 to MR/RPC. The MR is a rezoning, the RPC is an overlay. Mm-hmm. And basically you combine them together in the public hearing process.
They're combined, but they are actually two separate ordinances.
We can actually void the RPC if it never took place. We can't void the MR zone without going back through a process.
Right, but it's again, my question, it's two ordinances we're looking at.
We're looking at, in this case, you're looking at a rezoning from AR1 to MRRPC.
So it's only one?
Public hearing.
Okay.
Right.
Yes, sir, I do. Very, very brief, very simple one, but perhaps very important, and that would be why was this particular community application, let me rephrase that, grandfathered? And provide the public, if you would, what is the ruling on something that is grandfathered versus not, if you would, please.
Or are they all grandfathered in?
No, application date.
Yes, it was stated in the regulations there were grandfathering provisions in the new regulations that stated if a project was already in the review queue or had applied prior to January 1 of 2014, then they could either continue under the old regulations or have their plans grandfathered under the old regulations. Osprey Point met that condition, therefore, from our perspective, they're grandfathered.
Okay. So the date of January 1st of 2014.
Correct.
Anything
after? I can't tell you what the exact date was that they submitted, but it was prior to that.
Okay. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Randy, can you elaborate on the fact that there is multiple applications out there that are also grandfathered, and this clause will expire at some point?
We had a conference call with our Sussex folks this morning, and they still have 24 plans they're reviewing that are grandfathered and fall under this provision. And they've already approved some. I can't tell you what the total is today, but I could find out. But there's still 24 that have yet to be approved.
And they were applied for? I don't understand why. Had they
before January 1st, 2014.
Okay. So that, in other words, they go back to the old regs.
Correct.
Because we dragged them forward and didn't let them
expire.
You know,
it takes, even if under the best of, schedules, it probably takes a year from beginning to approval. So all it takes is one delay in getting approval for, the project at some point to extend that out. So.
Okay, so it's alive. Right. I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Any questions, Mr. Lawson?
Well, and to follow up, there is a deadline. At some point, if they don't meet the standards set forth by Deneric and SCD, they will all expire.
Yeah.
And we will only be talking about the new regulations from that point forward. Can you elaborate?
The way that the provisions were set up, basically they had an 18-month window to get approval. If for some reason or maybe extenuating circumstances why they can't meet that, we do have the ability to grant an administrative extension. However, that's going to be limited.
Sure.
So we're trying to get all these off the slate so we can move forward with the new regs. We don't want to try to operate under two sets of regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to clear out this backlog as best we can.
Now, Todd, when we
extended all these applications. I'm trying to refresh my memory here. And we did it because of the economy and other reasons. We gave all these extensions, right? But nowhere do I recall that we, when we did that, that we said that they didn't have to comply with regulations as new regulations came down the pike. We just said we would extend the application at that point. We didn't say that the state had to do this or correct. Any of these other agencies, right?
Correct.
How about at the county level? Or if we change our regulations, are we making the developers come in with our changes that maybe have happened in engineering department or?
Yes, we're going through the same thing right now. Through the extension period, we updated our road standards. So we have applications that fall under the old road standards and now the new road standards. We're going through the exact same situation that they are. As you know, that the last extension will expire at the end of this year, and should that not happen to be extended again, then everything will fall under the new rules as it relates to the county.
So we are also grandfathering when it comes to the roads.
Certain
standards.
Ones, yes, yes. We like them. We had to draw a line in the sand where old standards versus new standards. Yes.
Okay.
This is fairly standard procedures for any type of regulation. You know, people don't start and stop. It's a continuous process of applying and trying to get approval for various things. So it is, unfair to ask folks that are almost to the point where they may be getting a permit or some type of approval to start all over again because a new set of regulations went into effect. So this is fairly standard practice.
It's a fairly, like I think Mr. Earle alluded to, that we're trying to educate the people who are concerned about this primarily. Okay. Of where the county fits into this, into the process, and the state and everybody else and all these approvals, so that when something gets approved or denied, they understand why.
Mm-hmm. So I understand by us bringing them forth, and we are losing out on a lot of the new regs and laws.
Any more questions of council?
Mm-hmm. One last, if I may, Mr. Pardon President. That would be, as I just heard, 18 months, correct? So therefore, as it relates to this specific application, if county council does not provide a decision prior to June 30th, that's 18 months.
That's our approval. We have to, we're shooting for 18 months approval of the sediment stormwater plan.
Gotcha.
We're not tying our process to council's or county's process. Our goal is to try to get all these grandfathered plans approved by the end of June.
And how is that coming along regarding Sussex, the conservation district?
I know that it's been reviewed at least a couple times, and typically these things go back and forth two or three times. So I'm assuming that they're aware of that deadline, and they're trying as best they can to reach that approval date. But again, if for some reason they can't meet it and they can show us they've been making a good faith effort for approval, we do have the ability to extend that if necessary.
Okay.
Okay. More questions to council? Thank you all for coming down.
Thank you so much.
And presenting to us. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here.